The precious peace and joy of our Lord Jesus be with you all, heart dwellers. Well, I have some really good news. The CD Tethered, actually the 4-CD set, is now on Amazon. And for those of you who are not familiar with what that is, it's kind of a spiritual survival kit for those left behind that are tethered to the earth, that weren't taken in the rapture. And it has comforting and encouraging songs, teachings, and meditations, like a forgiveness meditation and so on it. And it's going to be very, very helpful, calming, and encouraging for people who are almost suicidal in their grief when they're left behind and they've lost family members. So this is the reason why we put it together, and we paid for the cost of all the work done for it, which faithful members of our YouTube Heart Dwellers family have contributed so that you could get these almost at cost. And I don't know that we'll be able to do another run at that price because a lot of money was used to get these produced. But they're there now, so take advantage of it. I really encourage you to consider buying just a few for your relatives and leaving them in key places for them, because they're going to need encouragement really badly. And that's what this 4-CD set is all about, to give them courage and to let them know how much they're loved by God and that He has not abandoned them. And you might have to do a search on Amazon for the name Claire Dubois, with a small D-U, a space, and then a capital B-O-I-S. And that'll bring up everything that's on Amazon except for the Tethered Thumb Drive, which they haven't received yet. And oddly enough, will be in computers. They didn't want to put it where we needed it to be. So that's the good news. I would ask all of you, please do me a huge favor. Would you please rate the CD and our books? Because here's the thing. We have new believers, or people that come along and they look at that and they don't see any rating or a low rating, and they're not going to be interested in experimenting and trying it. But if we want to reach new believers, and there's a lot of thumbs up, a lot of good ratings with a nice comment of substance, you know, just to, oh, it was good, but rather explaining a little bit about what it did for you. If we leave comments like that, then other people are going to come along and see that, and they're going to say, wow, this is what I've been looking for. I'm going to give this a try. So please try to do that, will you? And possibly if you can leave a link to our website or our YouTube channel, that would be nice too. So those are ready for you anytime. And just so you know, those of you who have tried to download the thumb drive contents and are having trouble, we've got issues. And we're working on those to help get them straightened out. But my thought is, if it were me and I were trying to do that, I would download little bits and pieces and then clear my history on my browser and reboot and then try again. And do that every time you download a bundle of things. That might cut off all the problems, at least until we get it fixed, and then it'll be easier. Moving along now to the message the Lord began tonight. Here we go again on the unbelief merry-go-round. Those were the Lord's first words to me when I came into prayer, because I've been getting pelted all day about the rapture, right? There's not a day that goes by that I don't get pelted with that. But I work my way through it because the Lord is trustworthy. As I go back and look at all the altars that I've built to Him, all the prayer altars, every time He's come through, there are altars in my heart. Just as the Hebrews used to do when the Lord did some wonderful thing for them. I go back to those altars in my heart and I recognize He's been faithful. For what, 25 years? So there's no reason to doubt Him at all. But nonetheless, being human, that was the first thing He said to me. Here we go again on the unbelief merry-go-round. I admitted it and I said, yes. He said, because you haven't spent enough time with me. And I said, no, because you've called it off so many times. Oh, you're blaming it on me now. Uh-huh. Well, that's very bold of you. Jesus, it's true. You're right. No one can argue with truth. Not even you, my love. I'll try. Yes, that's right, too. You just might try. Only to prove that it's true, though. Never for any selfish motive, right? I thought I'd have a little funny with him, and I said, Jesus, you're always right. And he retorted, except when I'm joshing you. You were supposed to say wrong in that case. Well, enough. Let's get down to business. I so look forward to hearing from you, dear one. I know. And I know you're not feeling well, Claire. I know, my love, and I'm holding you and keeping your head up for this message. I'm holding you and I'm rocking you, and oh, how I love you. Just cozy up to me and listen to my heart. Listen to my heartbeat for a few moments. So I did, and the rhythm was so soothing. And I asked him, what's on your heart tonight, Lord? And he answered, your sanctification. Oh, yes, you've got me thinking about that. I shouldn't be, right? No, you shouldn't take your eyes off of me, truth be told. But when you do, it should be to edify your brother or correct yourself, but not laboring or thinking about how to be holy or how I'm going to make you more holy. That is a total waste of time. You're really not making good use of the time when you become self-centered. By that I mean when you try to engineer your own sanctification, when you look at others and wish you could be that far along. That doesn't please me. I have you in this place because it is the best place for you to be. You would not do well in someone else's path. And may I say that things are not always as they seem? Where you see another soul progressing, seemingly beyond you, you look at what is further along than you are, but you do not look or see the other faults that are hidden. And even if these faults didn't exist, I still do not want you comparing yourself with others. But Lord, what about what you said, when you see good, imitate it? That's in passing, and with my Spirit's anointing, deliberately tapping on your shoulder and saying, beloved, here's virtue you would do well to imitate. Yes, then you're to incorporate that, but never sizing yourself up against what you see in others. That is very much to your detriment. I may still be moving layer A in the soul while you and I passed through those lessons a long time ago. Oh, how much I appreciate it when you all humble yourselves and work together, sharing your faults and praying for one another. That is what I designed the original communities to be, safe havens, places of refuge from the scrutiny and judgments of the world, places where you could grow in holiness openly with one another. When a brother wounds his leg in battle, and you wound your right hand, you can help him walk with your members that still function, and he can help you write with his members that still function. I designed the body to work this way, intricately united together, so that the wounded and the compromised would have assistance until they're healed. However, what most often happens is one suffers a leg wound and is chastised for it to the point that his good hands are no longer useful to the community. He's been written off as too weak, inadequate, immature, unworthy. Oh, don't you see, my people? You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Just because a soul is faulty and weak in one area does not mean he is no longer useful to the body in others. This is the attitude that many of you apply to my ministers. If you find one thing wrong with them, you write them off. How sad. How would you feel if I found one thing wrong with you and wrote you off as a total failure and unworthy for me to work with? Yet this is what you do to my ministers, who I must tell you, out of the thousands, none of them has arrived. You will always find fault somewhere. Now, the secret of receiving ministry from anyone is discernment. And how do you learn discernment? By many hours sitting at my feet and listening to souls with your heart. That's where the real acid test is. When you hear the heart of others, you will know truth from error. You even suppose that because one moves in a gift, everything they say must be truth? No, no, no. You must go deeper. They may have a gift, but they might not have the truth. Again, you must listen with your heart. Filter it through me. I will let you know when you are listening, whether it's truth or error. But this skill is not gained by squeezing me into 30 minutes in the morning, nor is it gained in corporate body worship, running to Bible studies and conferences. It is only learned in the silence of your heart, where I speak to you. When you sit in silence, I speak to your heart, and soon we are dialoguing back and forth, having a real conversation. This is how you learn discernment, listening to me. And on that note, guys, I just want to encourage you to write down your thoughts and feelings and listen for a still small voice to reply to those thoughts and feelings, and it may very, very well be the Lord. And then you write down what he's saying. Just write it down and then go back in a few minutes and reread it, and I think you'll find that you are hearing from Holy Spirit or the Lord. Jesus continued, I am telling you this because many of you are fooled by false piety. You judge as man judges, not as I perceive, from the heart. I have an aversion to falsehood, but you have to be listening very carefully to my heart as you listen to the vessel. You will feel a subtle joy and conviction when I approve, and an awkward sense that something is not quite right when I disapprove. If you gain your discernment in crowds, talking with others, listening to different opinions and different teachers, what you will end up with is not discernment, but opinion. And when your opinion doesn't agree with what the vessel is saying, it'll set you on edge. But that doesn't mean that I am not agreeing with what they're saying. You have to go deeper. Opinion happens when you compare notes and decide on what seems right to your logical mind. Opinion is no substitute for discernment. Discernment happens when you are tuned into my heart. My sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. Just about all the Pharisees had strong opinions about my ministry. They had consensus, but they did not have discernment, or they wouldn't have crucified me. So, my dear ones, I want you to be fully equipped for every good work, and discernment is second only to love in ministry. Love without discernment will result in misplaced action. Discernment without love will result in harsh judgment and error. You must have both. And you will have both when you spend quality time leaning your head upon my heart and listening to me and worshiping me, either in the silence of your heart or alone in your room. Until you know that you have this gift, be very careful in your judgment of the teachings of others. If you do not know, then it's wise to come to me saying, Lord, I don't know. Please show me. Never form a rash judgment about the contents of a vessel's ministry. Always come to me, wait on me, and I will reveal truth from error. Then you will be able to drink from the living waters rather than the polluted waters of men's opinions.